Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. So, last episode, we went over a new listener email, and today we're going to go over a couple of questions on a friend of the show, Drew's from Comics for Fun and Profits email he sent me. So, I like getting emails. I encourage you to send them. Again, my email address has changed a little bit. It's mikemyersbrunch@gmail.com. I will still get it at the old address. I'm going to probably keep it alive for a year before I dump it. But I wanted to answer some of these questions. So the first question is, what was the first comic book you ever collected, and do you still have it? So by collected, I would say where you try to go monthly and try to pick up the next issue. Well, when I was getting stuff off the spinner rack, I wasn't really collecting anything. So I would get what kind of like struck me as really cool at the time. And because I only had like so many allowance, I would not tend to go for the same book from back to back, you know, months. But I think the first time I started really collecting a book off the spinner rack, it's going to sound weird, but it wasn't until like Fantastic Four John Byrne around the same time that the Wolverine 4-issue miniseries came out and the Hercules miniseries came out. So, yeah, I would say off the rack, you know, those are the series that I started to collect, and two of them were a miniseries. But for some reason, that Fantastic Four really struck me as something I needed to have and, you know, add to my collection. And the Wolverine one just looked cool. Like, I hadn't even been reading X-Men. So, you know, I can't say that that's what got me, you know, hooked. Because I don't remember reading X-Men prior to this Wolverine. So comics were 60 cents before 1982, but I was getting comics since 1973. So if you think about it, I didn't collect comics in terms of getting the next issue, get the next issue, the next issue, until, you know, roughly 1992. Sorry, 1982, where comics were 60 cents. So we had John Byrne's Fantastic Four. That was an ongoing. Wolverine, which had a 4-issue miniseries, which I absolutely loved. And Hercules. And it's so weird to say this because all of them were Marvel, and I'm a DC guy. So that's a very odd thing. And even if we go to talk about the first back issues that I collected, they were all Marvel too. So it was like Champions. I went to get back issues of Champions, which was Hercules, Angel, Iceman, Black Widow, Ghost Rider, you know, those characters. And yeah. And then Defenders, I started to get Defenders around the 20 cent issues, but they were back issues. So they were roughly around when comics were 60 cents and I was getting, you know, 20 cent comics in the back issue stack. And so I would say, yeah, it was in the terms of back issues, it was definitely Defenders and Champions, which just, you know, I fell in love with those teams, and in terms of back then, I was really interested in team books because I felt like I was getting more for my money, but that wasn't always the case. So yeah, those are good questions, and I will tackle another one. Which comic book character do you have the most issues of in your collection? That I have not run a tally, but it would probably have to be Flash or Daredevil in terms of Marvel, because as far as I can remember, Flash has always had a series. And I have every Flash comic going back to 1973, and then I have a lot going back to the beyond that, just not sequential, so I'm missing odds and end issues off and on. And the same thing goes with Daredevil, you know, collecting since the 60s. I went back and got all the issues, including issue number one, his first appearance, and have been getting it ever since and never stopped getting Daredevil. There might be a couple of like side Daredevil books that I don't have, or side Flash books, but for the most part, every ongoing that has ever come out from those two characters, I own. So, and then you could also even throw in Superman, probably, because Superman sometimes came out twice a month. So, yeah, those are some of the ones, the characters I have the most issues of. Third question, have you ever met any of the artists or writers on your favorite comics? If so, who was the coolest? I'm a big fan of Tom Scioli, just because he was a Jack Kirby guy, and I got to meet him. He did a lot of Image books inspired by Kirby back in the day, A Godland being one of them. He's still one of my favorite creators and one of the coolest people I've ever met. And I just like to chat comics with him. And Andrew Peepoy is another guy that's an inker that I absolutely adore his work. And I consider him a friend, you know. The other one is Robert Atkins, who we even got to talk to on this show. He was doing art for G.I. Joe. That's probably what he's most famous for. And it was really great to meet him and in person and hang out with him and his sister. And yeah, and Tom Beland, I had a really good experience with, who did, what was that title? God, it had the word God in it. Now I can't think of it, but it was a romance story. Oh, True Story, Swear to God, about him and his ex-wife. Unfortunately, they got divorced after the book was done. But meeting him was probably one of the coolest and rewarding experiences, because me, Tim Terrell, and Derek Coward did a podcast together, and Tim Terrell said, I'm going to pick the books that we're going to review, and he actually sent us a copy of the books we were going to review, physical, you know. So that was, he said, we're going to review True Story, Swear to God, and I don't remember what the other one was, but it was a really great issue, and we couldn't talk enough about it. The three of us thought it was like a magical issue first time we experienced it. And somehow Tom Beland got word of the podcast. I don't know how. Maybe he's searching for his name, or somebody told him that we talked about it, and he listened to the podcast, and he was like, I've never been, you know, on a podcast or had people talk about my book with such passion. And he asked to be on a podcast with us. So we don't do interviews, but we did. We talked to him. And then later on, I think it was 2006 or 7, we went to San Diego Comic-Con, and I ran into Tom Beland there. And I went to go introduce myself, say, hey, yeah, I'm Mike Myers, and we were on, you know, Comic Book Noise interview with you, and we talked about your book, and he's like, oh my God, he said, you know, I really thought a lot about how you guys talked about me. He gave me a page of artwork, which is in our guest bedroom right now, and he said, you know, pick out the page you want, and I got to pick out a page, and that was a really rewarding experience. But none of the big creators, you'd think that, you know, I would go latch on to them, but I tend to shy away from the big creators. I did meet some of them when they weren't so big, and then they sort of blew up. But those are the people that I sort of, the one I really like to talk to when I get a chance is Jim Shooter, because I just idolize him so much. And sometimes I'm tongue-tied because I'm very intimidated by him. But every experience I've had and the panels I've gone to are just so rewarding. Marv Wolfman and George Perez, that was very rewarding in terms of a panel and getting to talk to them. Sergio Aragonés and all the people that do GRU, they were in a panel together, and that was amazing. The credible experience for me. What is your rarest and most valuable comic book you own? The rarest, and it's pretty valuable, but in terms of rarity, would probably be Shadow Man. This book was coming out during the Acclaim years, and it was a very low print run because they were going out of business. And it was the sixth series. No, it wasn't the sixth series. That's the new Valiant. It was... Sorry. I'm trying to find out which one it is. Volume 3 in 1999. And it's number 6. That one was such a low print run and very hard to find. It took me a long time to find it. And if it wasn't for the Facebook page on Valiant Comics, I probably would have never got it. It is an expensive book because Valiant collectors want to have full collections, but it's definitely not my most valuable. My most valuable is probably Batman number 3, which is the very first volume of Batman. And I bought that one at a really good time. And I wasn't even aware it was the first appearance of Catwoman. So, yeah, that's my most valuable. Let's see if I have time for one more. How do you organize your comic collection? Okay. This is so fucking hard to explain because I get so much. I'll talk about the tools I use first. So I Mylar every single book, regardless of what it is. Some of the legacy books that I have in my collection, I haven't migrated over to Mylar, but everything as of 10 years ago is all Mylar'd. I use drawer boxes now because I use the short ones because I could still lift them. They could be bolted to each other. They're very nice. They could slide in and out for easy access. And I use halfbacks and the Mylar bags. And I use a database called Comic Base, probably one of the longest running databases there is in comics, because it started back when they're I think it's 3 1/4 floppy disk. It might have even went to the 5 1/2 floppy, but I started around the 3 1/4 floppy disk, and then it moved to DVD, sorry, CD, and then to DVD, and then to Blu-ray, and now it's downloadable on the internet. But that's the tools I use. So how does my collection, the collection from about 2000 and prior, is all in order by Marvel in alphabetical order, DC in alphabetical order, and Independence by company in alphabetical order, and title in alphabetical order and number and volume. And everything after that, they are in that same order, but not necessarily merged, because merging started to become too ridiculous. So they're all in order now by date and by what's read and what's not read. So, like, on one side of the wall, I might have all the red books, and on the other side of the wall, I'll have boxes of books to read. But they're all sorted and merged by company and alphabetical order, numerical order, and volume order. But I don't merge them anymore because I learned this from Bob Bretall when I went to his place. He's the guy who owns the current Guinness Book of World Records. And I said, "How do you deal with this having large collection and merging shit like this? Because it's ridiculous." And he said, "Well, I stopped merging," and I hated merging. Merging is far rewarding once you've done it, but during the process, it is extremely painful for a large collection. So I hope that answers your question. And one of the things that I'd like to do in retirement is to merge all of it. But that's going to take probably a year and me working on it pretty regularly. So I don't know if it'll ever happen, but that's what I'd like to happen. So I am going to stop with that question, and I'm going to look to see some of recent purchases, which is so recent as of today. Ed's Cards and Comics had bought a new collection, and there were a collection of funny books. So I am going to dig out these funny books and let you know what I got. And I thought there was one I put on the top because it was totally golden age. And hopefully it's still there. Yep. That's what I was afraid of. It was a bad thing to put that in there, but hopefully I caught it in time so it's not too damaged. It's a 10-cent comic too. But I couldn't fit it in the box. So I got a book. It's a 10-cent book. It looks like an amazing cover, and it's American Comics Group. And it says, "The funniest kid in town, Cookie." And there's a girl looking over the fence, and he's a baseball player. And he says, "Baseball phooey, nothing ever happens." And it looks like he's about to get hit in the face with a baseball. So this was a really nice pickup. It's number 37 of Cookie. So I got another one, The Little Rascals, a Dell comic for 10 cents. I love me Little Rascals. I got a Golden Age comic. It's number 11 of Haphazard. It looks like a guy that's in jail with one of those ball and chains tagged to his ankle, and the cop is bringing him in, and he says, hey, the cop's taking him, escape convict. And he's pointing to a building where music is playing, and he says, Halloween costume party. So it looks like he's being apprehended as if he's a criminal, and he's not. Then I got a comic book. I think it was somebody who has been posting some Dell comics. A Petticoat Junction. I've never watched this show. I'm aware of the show, but this is the final issue of Petticoat Junction, issue number 5. And it's a real sweet one. I then picked up a copy of Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies. These are expensive books because this one is in terrible shape. I got it for $9. But, yeah. Bewitched, you know, from the TV show. I picked up a Dell Bewitched comic, issue number 5. Got a Jetsons, number 12. 13 going on 18, Dell Comics. I don't know what number it is. I'd have to open. Oh, it says issue 27. I got a Pebbles and Bam Bam, number 31, from Charlton. I got a Big Valley. Steve Austin is on the cover there. With, let's see, it's Lee Majors and Linda Evans on the cover. It's issue number 5 of Big Valley. I got a Godzilla vs. Hero Zero. I've been trying to complete my Comics Greatest Worlds, and I wasn't even aware of this Hero Zero crossover. It says it's a must-have double bag item when two of the biggest characters in comics crash on San Diego Comic-Con. It's a Dark Horse comic. There was a DC one called Young Romance, 25 Center, 205. And it looks like this guy's in the driver's seat of a car, and he's getting ready to make out with this girl. And the other girl, through the window, comes by and says, I told you, Jerry, she's been making a play for you every time I turn my back. Then I have an issue of Hee-Haw, number 2. I don't own any Hee-Haw comics, but I used to watch this at my grandmother's house a lot. And I have a Charlton Hee-Haw comic now, so I'm proud of that. So, yeah, I picked up some regular gems there, and I had a good time at the comic shop today. There wasn't a lot of people, so I got to bruise around at my own pace. I ran into some guy. I don't usually socialize, but he was in the back issue funny books area, you know, where they have Flintstones and Casper and all that stuff. And he saw that I was poking around in the funny books new collection, and he just started to talk to me, and he goes, oh, I see you're getting some of those. And I said, yeah, I've went through all of those boxes back there and got everything I wanted. And he said he was really into the Star comics, you know, from Marvel. And I was talking to him saying, yeah, I didn't used to get any of them, but now I have quite a collection of Star comics that I never knew I would have. He said, I'm closing in. I told him on Thundercats, and he had all of them. And I said, I'm really close to having all the He-Mans. And he said, yeah, that's the one he's looking for. And then I pointed out, you know, Top Dog and a couple others. And I said, yeah, I got those. So, yeah, we had a short conversation about, you know, Star Comics. So it was a pretty good experience. And I think I'm going to pause for the cause, and then I will count some issues and be right back. And I'm back. And we're going to talk about the books, if my mouse starts working, the books that I read from June 10th through June 16th. First, we'll talk about some things I watched. The 4 out of 5s were Collector's Call, which is a TV show on MeTV, over the air, free. I know Drew asked me, how do you watch those? That's, you know, just an antenna. You can get an antenna for like, you know, $20 or under. that has like a 50-mile radius just attached to your TV and get all the local stations and HDMI, and that's how you can probably get MeTV if your cable provider or DirecTV provider or whoever your provider is does not offer it any other way. That's how you get Collector's Call. Gen V, that was a spinoff from the Boys, and that was really good. I gave that a 4 out of 5. And then the 5 out of 5 was The Bear. Gosh, that's a series on FX and just incredible about, you know, sous chefs and just starting a restaurant and just incredible, incredible acting. It's just an incredible show. I love it. It's going to go down as one of my favorites. I'm already seen through season 3. I started with season 1 and kind of marched my way through all of them. And this was probably around the time I watched season 1. So we have 23 comics, 7 Marvel, 5 Dynamite, 11 DC. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s. Night Terror's Angel Breaker. It features Raptor from Grayson. But I was pretty much lost reading this one coming into Night Terrors from such a long break. So I was originally, when Night Terrors was coming out, this is about the villain Insomnia that kind of puts everybody to sleep, except for a handful of people that can function, like Zatanna. And I think Wonder Woman's out of it, but there's a couple of them that are able to not get knocked out. And this is what happens in their nightmares. So Angel Breaker is a character, I think, that was introduced in Grayson. And I think it was a Tim Seeley book, so he took off with it. And I was entertained, but I was a little lost on it. I wasn't lost on any of the others, but this one I was. Night Terror's Black Adam. He has nightmares about losing his powers and not being able to protect Khandaq, which is his land. Night Terror's Ravager number 2. These were all number 2s because I read the number 1s a long time ago. This was one of those weekends where I was free from Geek Brunch and I just went to town on my box of to read. And I wanted to complete Night Terror's. Nightmares about her family life and father. That is Ravager. So her father is Deathstroke and her brother is... She's got 2 brothers. Why can I not? Oh, one of them is Jericho. And the other brother is... I thought it was Ravager. I don't remember. He's the one that... He's the brother that died. Well, I think Jericho died too. But, yeah, what a family. We then get into the 4 out of 5's. Night Terror's Harlequin. Her nightmare is being a true hero and fighting Brainiac. Was really good, but the second story I thought was completely incomprehensible. But it's still a 4 out of 5. Night Terror's Robin. It focuses on Tim Drake and Jason Todd nightmares as they're able to swap nightmares. Night Terror's Action Comics number 2, Power Girl, story with Omen in it. Omen, if you don't know who that was, she was in Action Comics along with Power Girl as well. But she is the character that came out at the Teen Titans comic book. We got Night Terror's Zatanna. She has to protect Wonder Woman and Detective Chimp, and her nightmare is failing her father, which is Zatara. We have Night Terror's Wonder Woman number 2, Wonder Woman and Nubia nightmares. Pretty decent and seemed to fit the current storyline, which was really good because a lot of these kind of just vectored away from the storylines, whereas the Wonder Woman it pretty much stayed on target. We have X-Men Unlimited 1 and 2. I was listening to the X-Cast, Uncanny X-Cast, and they were talking about the X-Men Unlimited, and I do own a few of them, not much, but... I didn't go pull out those books, but I have the Marvel app. And as they were talking about them, I was like, I should just use them on the Marvel app and read them. But this features on a Blackbird's down in the Arctic with Storm, Cyclops, and Xavier. A short story about that. And the second issue is the power of Magneto with the history and one guy. I lost it. And the guy that seeks revenge for the loss of his brother and gets the Magneto armor to actually defeat Magneto. We have Planet of the Apes, number 1 through 5. This is a new Marvel series which focuses on the franchise, but just on the virus, the Alzheimer virus. So it's a second set of continuity of Planet of the Apes rather than the original. There's really three sets of Planet of the Apes. There's the original series that started in the 60s, 70s, and then there's the remake that was done by Tim Burton, and the third one is the virus outbreak, and then all the movies that preceded it, which I think are 5 or 6 already. Latest being Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. So this one focuses on the one with the virus and a circus ape and some other apes that are fighting the humans. No Caesar or other of the apes that we got to know from the movies. So it's like, you know, we own the license, but we don't want to fuck up the characters. So we're going to let you play in the world of the apes, but we're going to play in a different segment that we know is not going to affect any of our movies going forward. Magnus, Robot Fighter, Dynamite, 4 through 8. Magnus finds the wife he thought he had was not real and planted by his father, which is the robot, if you remember A1. He teams up with Legia and the Goths to fight with the machines that implement human parts in them. Implant human parts in them. And then I read, this is just for the anniversary book that's coming out, I reread 0 Hour 4 through 3. So what this really is the villain is extant, but really not the villain. It's really Parallax, and he's trying to fuck up shit. And it sort of leads to continuity changes in Hawkman and Legion of Superheroes and several others. But it was a really good event. It was went across books as a 0 issues, I believe, and then it launched some issues like Starman, and some of them had various successes. Others did not, but it was a really good series, and I was just revisiting it. And then we get books read from 617 to 623, a total of 32 comics. We have 1 Zenoscope, 1 Massive, 4 Marvel, 1 Mad Cave, 1 Kickstarter, and that was from Hartso, his daughter. And then we have 4 Image, 1 Fantagraphics, 1 Eros, 6 Dynamite, 5 DC, 1 Archie, and 6 Antarctic. So we'll start with the 3 out of 5s. We had Novocaine. That was the Kickstarter. And Novocaine is a hero saving worlds along with her lover Alex, is now threatened by an unknown enemy. It's sort of a sexual book because they like fucking after their adventures. But I don't think I'll be buying any more Kickstarters of Novocaine, even though I was entertained. We got Night Terror's Punchline number 2, which is a 3 out of 5. Seems like Punchline's major nightmare is social media and the internet. So we got the 4 out of 5. Archie Presents Cursed Library Prelude. This is a free comic book day. This is one of the free comic book days that just gives you a taste into the Archie horror line. I think the earlier stories in this book were much more interesting than the later ones. We have Witchblade number 32. Sarah's dealing with her boss and friend killing father. And the Witchblade grows another jewel. And she's attacked by some cyborg and is able to destroy it. But Witchblade was hard to control. Jake grows to bust Gavin and Irons and lets him only to find out he is a demon. Elizabeth Bathory, number 11. Elizabeth and the Woman with the Vaginas. This is the X-rated book from Eros. Elizabeth and the Woman with the Vaginas for Nipples are attacked by the Two Vampires and Others. That was number 11. We have Johnny Quest Free Comic Book Day, number 1. This was a good adventure of Johnny Quest. It had a Thundercat story and also the first few pages of Space Ghost. Magnus Robot Fighter 9 through 12. This is the Dynamite series. Really enjoyed this series, but was a little confused with how these last two issues advanced the story. We have Night Terrors Nightwing number 2. Wrapped up what is left of the Night Terrors. This is pretty good as Nightwing's nightmare is killing Bruce. And then he is in Arkham with Crane trying to rescue Barbara. We then have Night Terrors Poison Ivy number 2. As Poison Ivy's nightmare is pretty easy weed killer. The Harlequin scene was great in this comic. I thought the art was excellent for a story such as this one. We have Jungle Comics number 20 through 22. Jungle Comics is one of my favorite anthology books. Xan is fun and Valkyria kicked all sorts of butt. We have Gold Alliance number 1, Dynamite, sets the stage for Turok, who is protecting Dinosaur Reserve. Solar is in the field. Samson is a powerful homeless man who a corporation is after. And Magnus is undercover with Legia. And she is a robot. So, we have Incredible Hulk 5 through 8. This is the Philip Kennedy Johnson Incredible Hulk. They're really kind of like these weird three-issue horror arcs where the Hulk and Bruce are navigating the United States with a little girl who killed her father. And they're sort of protecting the girl in different ways. You know, Hulk protects her, and Bruce is trying to get her away from the Hulk. But they have Monsters of the Week. I think these ones dealt with a new Ghost Rider where a young kid seems to be protected by a Ghost Rider from World War II. It's either World War II or World War I. And he has a flaming motorcycle, World War I motorcycle, and protects this kid. Like, that's his whole... I think he calls him Uncle. But he's not the real monster threat to the Hulk. There's another monster threat that's killing people. It deals with the Hispanic culture. It's a really interesting story. We then have 0 Hour 1 through 2. The JSA is no more. They're either aged or dead. Alan Scott remains young, but gives up his ring. The heroes stopped Extant from destroying the timeline by exploiting Mentron's chair. Power Girl, about to have her baby. I forgot totally about that, by the way. Team Titans and others from different timelines and extends control. I was rereading this for the upcoming anniversary book. We learned the big bad is Parallax, his first appearance. We also get the first appearance of Jack Knight, Starman, and passing of the torch. Jay asks for help from Spectre. You know who Hal Jordan eventually becomes the Spectre. The 30th century and other places in time are getting wiped out. We have Pooh versus Bambi number 2 from Zenoscope. Pooh unwillingly goes to rescue Tigger. The wonderful thing about Tiggers is Tiggers are wonderful things. Their bottoms are made out of rubber. The strings, they bounce, which I don't know what to say. But Tigger and Kanga and Roo and finds out Bambi is alive. We thought Bambi died in the last issue. But I guess he can't kill Bambi because it's Pooh versus Bambi. We have I Lie Popeye. This is a massive freebie from Free Comic Book Day. Grateful Free Comic Book Day issue of Popeye. Art is fantastic. And many tales about how Popeye lost his eye, which was a lot of fun. Different perspectives. So they interview Olive. She tells a story about how he lost his eye. And then she interviews Wimpy and Popeye and Bruto and all... You know, Bluto, and they all have different stories to tell how Popeye lost his eye. Witchblade Infinity number one. This was interesting. What if one-shot story where Sarah Pazzini did not obtain the artifact as told in the main storyline of Witchblade. Instead, a young Donna Matrix named Kimberly Tosava received it as a gift from a client. We then get into the 5 out of 5s. We have Flash Gordon from Mad Cave, freebie comic book edition number 0. My favorite free comic book day offering this year came from Mad Cave. Flash Gordon, absolutely incredible. The art was top notch. Flash takes his death to trick Ming. He fakes his death, and Princess Ara shoots a bullet to rescue him. Once in the castle, all the destruction looks like they destroyed Mongo entirely at the end of the issue. So we'll have to see how things turn out for Flash and his allies, as well as Ming. We have Tales of the Witchblade 7 through 8. This was a surprise 5 out of 5. These were outstanding. And man, it makes me want to buy these Tales of the Witchblade more than actual Witchblade. So Witchblade I own a lot of. But I wasn't really addicted to Witchblade until the Ron Mars run, which was way late in the series. But I did collect it. And there's probably a reason for it. Like, the art was great, but I really don't think Turner's art was... I don't think he was the greatest storyteller in comics. Like, if it looks like a still picture, it looks pretty freaking awesome. But there was not a lot of dynamic art to it. It felt very static and non-moving, but this Tales from the Witchblade is gorgeous, and they're telling like the history of the Witchblade through different eras, and it is really good. Interstellar Dust, this is Antarctic, another series that me and Bill tend to rate really high. That is probably under everybody's radar. It's a sci-fi adventure about a prison book. So, space prison. It's extremely fun. I can't wait for another volume of Interstellar Dust. The crew is impressed by a cross-dressing... Sorry, is imprisoned by a cross-dressing warden and have to plan a complicated escape that requires everyone to do a very particular task. It's just a phenomenal story. And then we 5 out of 5 stories from the Atlas Comics Library. First of all, I must say that the Free Comic Book Day 2024 has been one of my favorite Free Comic Book Day events to date with the quality of the books being offered. And these Atlas stories were absolutely incredible. I passed on the Fantagraphics Atlas hardcovers. Mostly because they were cost prohibitive. But you know what I did? I went to Amazon again, and I just got them in the mail, and I bought the first 2 volumes of the Fantagraphics series because I liked this free comic book. The effects of Free Comic Book Day are outstanding because, at least in terms of me, Fantagraphics put their money in as, a free comic book day and got me to spend like $65 in their product. So good job, Fantagraphics. You did a very good job with this free comic book day. Again, I want to thank everyone. I want to thank Drew for providing some questions. And I want to thank everyone that supports the show. I encourage you to send email to Mike Myers Brunch, and that's Myers spelled M-Y-E-R-S Brunch at gmail.com. That's my new email address to send me questions, or you can send it via Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch, or on Blue Sky at Mike Myers Brunch. And that's a good way to send me questions and keep engaged in my shows. Mike M's Weekly Reads, Geek Brunch Retro, and DC Spotlight. All being on the same website now. It's dcpodcast.com. We also have a Facebook page under dcpodcast.com. I still keep the Geek Brunch Podcast, Facebook page up to date. So you can link them. Thank you for listening, and putting up to with my random talk. It's weird because I can just talk to myself for hours. It seems weird, doesn't it? I don't go in with a script. The only thing that I have there that's actually written down is what I read that week, and then everything else is just off the cuff. So I got to participate in the preview spotlight episode 200. I sent in 3 submissions. So if you go to comic book page, you can see what I picked. I picked 1 DC, 1 Marvel, and 1 back half. And I would have done more, but to tell you the truth, I'm so long-winded that I think I ate 40 minutes of that 3-hour podcast by myself. So, with 3 clips. But, I was glad to be a part of that. And give it a listen if you get a chance. And we'll talk to you soon. And take it easy. Bye.